Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, first day of this week, of this month. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses from 1, 2 and 3. Verses from 1, 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses from 1, 2 and 3. Shall we all read together? Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's commit this time unto the Lord. Father Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are in our midst. We thank you that you spoke to us this morning. Yes, O Lord, we belong to you. You belong to us. Thank you for giving that privilege, O Lord. There is nothing that we can boast. It's only because, Lord, it's only because of your grace we are here, Lord Father. Lord, as we are, Lord, at thy feet, listening to thy word, and how Mary sat at thy feet, speak to us, encourage us, strengthen us, edify us, discipline us through thy word, so that Lord, we would receive your word joyfully, and Lord, live that word according to thy will, through thy grace alone. Thank you. Bless thy name. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I was actually preparing for another word. God has laid on me burden to speak on a different message that I'm going to share this morning. As we have read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 verses, we all know this familiar portion. The second verse, it says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. We all know that, we all agree that we are all in a race, we are running towards the goal to become like Christ, and each of us are in different stages of faith. Each and every one of us are in different levels of faith. So this morning I would like to focus on verse 2, the first two phrases, fixing our eyes on Jesus. It says fixing, which means it's a continuous thing that we have to do. And the second one, the second phrase is the author and perfecter of faith. The author and perfecter of faith. So we keep listening about this verse, fixing our eyes on Jesus. What does it really mean? What does it really mean? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. What does it really mean? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Can I say, focus on him, focusing on him? And can I say, being attentive to whatever he says, being attentive to whatever he says? Let me give you an example. In a classroom setting, if the teacher is explaining something, she'd say, or he would say, look at him, look at me. So all the students, what they would see, what they would do is, they will fix their eyes on whatever she is saying. And not only that, their ears should be listening as well. They will have to look at the teacher, they will have to listen to the teacher, and not only that, their minds should be alert. In other words, whatever the teacher is saying, they will have to listen and actively listen and understand. So fixing our eyes on Jesus means you have to look at him, We have to listen to whatever he is saying, and not only that, we need to understand whatever he is saying. Whatever he is saying. So, fixing our eyes on Jesus, in simple words, in simple terms, fixing our eyes on Jesus is basically those three things that we need to understand. So keep that thought in your mind. And the second phrase we see, he is the author and the perfecter of faith. The author and perfecter of faith. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we see God has allotted to each a measure of faith. When we are born again, when we are born into God's kingdom, God has given each of us a measure of faith. A measure of faith. He is the author of faith. He is the author of faith. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we see, we all know that faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God, word of Christ. So, when we start listening to God's word, the faith is initiated. Faith is initiated through God's word. And in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, we all know this. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. So faith is current, it is active. It is not something which is in the future, it is active. So fixing our eyes on Jesus is the author and the perfecter of faith. Every day we need faith. Every day we need faith to depend on Him, right? To depend on Him. Based on this, I would like to bring your attention to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We will look at this one incident. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 verses from 22 onwards. 22 onwards. So before we look into this scripture portion, now if I ask, or if I say, if there is any one thing that Jesus was teaching them constantly to the disciples was faith, right? In Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 6, 5, 6, there it says, the disciples would say, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. This morning also, God is talking to us, each one of us. We should have that attitude of, Lord, increase my faith, increase your faith. As individuals, we have to depend more on Him, more on Him. And it's a very interesting passage. I think a few weeks back, Brother Matthew was sharing on Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We all know what happened. The disciples were going in the boat and Jesus was with them in the boat. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, notice this phrase. It comes very often. Verse 35, there it says, let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. And in the same chapter, verse 40, we see Jesus telling the disciples, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? No faith. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22 also, again we see Jesus telling the disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. In the same chapter, in verse 25, Jesus telling them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And in Matthew chapter 14, in verse 22 also, we see the same thing. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, we also see the same thing. Let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. In other words, Jesus is telling us to increase our faith, to go to the next level, to go to a higher level in our faith, in our faith on this earth, while we are living on this earth. We all know this very famous scripture portion, we all live by faith, not by sight, right? So there was a constant thing that Jesus was teaching the disciples to have that faith, and that faith has to increase. And they requested Christ in Luke 17, saying that, Lord, increase our faith. The context is in terms of forgiveness there, but here we see, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. So now we just look at this particular passage, Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 onwards. Since we all know this story, we won't read the entire verses, but we'll just go from verse 22 onwards. Verse 22 onwards. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. So he says, immediately, what is before, what happened before is, we all know this, 5,000 people, they got fed. Jesus did this miracle. And he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. He sent the crowds away. He was very sure. Even though many were following Christ, the crowds were following Christ, he didn't commit himself to the crowds. Crowds were interested only in the physical things. They were only interested in the food. That's why we clearly see he sent the crowds away and he's taking the disciples to the other side, to the next level of faith. He's taking the disciples to the other side and he sent the crowds away. Jesus is not interested in the crowds. Jesus is interested in the disciples and their faith. Today this morning, Jesus is telling us to increase our faith. We as disciples, we as followers of Christ, Jesus is telling us to go to the next level of faith. Go to another level of faith. So notice this. You know, the disciples, just imagine this picture. Just imagine. There's a miracle that has happened. Good thing, a blessing that has happened. And immediately, he's taking the disciples to the other side. Many times in our lives, God does wonderful things. God really answers our prayers. Praise God that He's our Father. And immediately what happens is He will test us. It's a constant thing that happens in each one of our lives. Till the Lord returns, God is teaching each one of us to increase in our faith. So in verse 22, immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side while He sent the crowds away. So He sent the crowds away on a boat on the sea, and we all know this. So here, there are few things I think we need to really ponder and we need to really understand. The sea, you know, God, when He talks to all of us, to the disciples, He talks in terms of metaphor. He gives some pictures so that we can understand in a better way. The sea represents the world. We'll see that in a minute or so. The sea represents the world. In John chapter 17, verse 15 and 18. In verse 15, it says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. And in verse 18, it says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So here in Matthew 22, we see He sent the disciples in the boat on the sea. So in other words, Jesus has sent the disciples into the world. And what was He doing? While He sent, He was praying. In John chapter 17, we all know that it's a high priestly prayer. He was praying for the disciples, saying that, Lord, I am sending these disciples into the world. In this picture, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and verse 23, He sent the crowds away. He put the disciples onto the boat and on the sea. And what was He doing in verse 23? He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. And when it was evening, He was there alone. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, we all know this. Jesus is interceding for us. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, He always lives to intercede for us. to intercede for us. So in verse 23 we see he's praying. He knew what he was doing. Hence he went and he was praying. In verse 23, the last phrase, when it was evening, he was there alone. In verse 24, but the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Meaning, they went on a journey. We have read in Hebrews 12, we are all in a race. We are all in a journey. So, the boat was already a long distance from the land. Say for example, if the boat was just the seashore, probably they would have easily jumped onto the land. So the boat has to travel such a long distance. There is no way of escape for them. Just imagine, Jesus is doing all these things for a greater purpose, so that the disciples would increase in their faith. Sometimes we don't understand, sometimes we don't know why difficulties or why challenges keep coming in our lives. Sometimes Jesus will allow that. He will send us those things and he will be praying. We'll look at the few subsequent verses. So here in verse 22, the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So they were going and the wind was there. It was exactly the opposite way. They couldn't really handle. Now let me ask you a question before I just move ahead. So the challenges, difficulties, the struggles, are they really good? Are they really bad? Are they really good or bad? I mean, obviously you know the answer, but I just wanted to hear from you. Are challenges, difficulties, is it good or bad? Good. Right, good. Now let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter, sorry, it's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, verse 15. I'll read that. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory of God rests on you. Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but he is to glorify God in this name. So in this world, you know, if a person is going through some challenge or difficulty or struggle, we need to understand first the origin of that trouble. Now here in 1 Peter, here we see if someone is suffering as a murderer, thief, evildoer or troublesome meddler, it is because of the choice that the person had made. Because of that, he's facing that consequence. The suffering is good, challenges are good when God allows that. In life of Job, we see God allowed that purposefully. It was good because we all know what happened in Job's life. We need to understand, if I'm going through some difficulty or some challenges, we need to go back to God. Lord, is it you that you have put me into this? Or is it because of my choice that I made? Sometimes we pray, if someone is, you know, really struggling, we really pray for God to remove that. Obviously, we don't like, as humans, right? Obviously, in our flesh, we don't like pain. We don't like suffering. We don't like to face those things often. But we need to understand and go back to God. Lord, is it really you that is allowing me to go through this so that, you know, I can increase in my faith? Or is it something which I took a wrong step and because of that I'm facing this consequence? When we get an answer from God, then we can absolutely be sure, is it really because of my wrong choice or is it because of God allowing me to go through this? So we need to have that discernment when we pray for others. We need to ask God. So let's come back here. So in verse 24, they have seen, battled by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the scripture we see, right from Genesis till the last book, we see the men of God going through these challenges, difficulties. We know Abraham, how God really tested his faith so that he could be an example for us. Even the Son of God, even Christ himself, he had to go through pain. He had to go through suffering. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, we see our Lord learned obedience through suffering. So, challenges, difficulties are good when God is allowing us to go through that, so that we would depend more on Him and then increase our faith. In verse 25, we see, and in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. Just imagine this, in the fourth watch of the night. According to the Jewish tradition, they have like four watches, for the night is divided into four watches. It begins at 6 p.m. in the evening. 6 to 9 is the first watch, 9 to 12 is the second watch, 12 to 3 is the third watch, and 3 to 6 is the fourth watch. Now, when I was reading this, I was trying to understand, why did Christ had to come at the fourth watch, of the night? Probably, you know, in verse 23, we see He was there alone, and it was evening. When it was evening, He was there alone. Probably it could have been maybe first watch, I don't know. There's no specifications here, but let's assume that it was the first watch. They were traveling, and the waves came and the wind was contrary, and then Christ came at the fourth watch, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Why did Christ have to come the last minute, almost the day is going to be the next day, daybreak? So spiritually, if you spiritually understand, the disciples are going in the boat on the sea. It was pitch dark, it was completely dark, right? So we are also traveling in this world. So we see of what's happening in the world. The wickedness is increasing like anything day by day. I'm not prophesying any time or any, you know, day, but at the fourth watch of the night means almost the next day is here, and almost the darkness is coming to its peak level. That's when Christ comes. You know, in many scripture portions we see Lord saying in Luke chapter 18 in verse 8, it says, I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? And there are many passages we see. I'm not going into the details of that. We need to understand that, you know, when things are going astray, when things are happening exactly the opposite way in our lives, what is our reaction? What is our response? Are we really fixing our eyes on Him? Are we really fixing our eyes to listen to God's word, to understand, to really hear, and really fixing Him? Because He already finished that race. He is our forerunner. Are we really fixing on Him in this journey? And He comes at the fourth watch of the night. In other words, completely gone. I can't do anything. I'm in the middle of the sea and I can't even go back, because obviously the wind is contrary. And notice, the boat is not sunk. Almost they were like, you know, battered by the waves here and there. They couldn't do anything. And at that time, in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. Praise God. In verse 26, when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, It is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. you know, just physically put ourselves in their shoes. It's completely dark, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I'm exactly not sure at what time exactly Christ has come, but that is the fourth watch. Between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. he came. Obviously, they couldn't see because they thought it was a ghost. They couldn't really clearly see. They thought it was ghost, and they cried out in fear. They cried out in fear. Just imagine, they've seen the miracle just a few hours back, the 5,000 people. God was with them. Jesus Christ was with them. And even prior to that, they must have seen healings, miracles. And God is teaching them a lesson. God is teaching them a lesson. God is teaching them a lesson. Everything is, you know, going astray. Everything is going astray. And they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out in fear. They cried out in fear. What we can understand is, when we don't have faith, or in other words, when we are gripped with fear, which means we don't have faith, which means we lost faith. Fear is exactly the opposite of faith. In other words, anxiety is the opposite of faith. Immediately, the fear grips. Immediately, the fear grips. And notice in verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke, saying, take courage. In other words, Jesus spoke God's word, telling the disciples to take courage. So God's word will bring that courage in our lives when we are going through that fear. Now here, they thought it was a ghost. They couldn't see clearly because it was the fourth watch of the night. And in verse 27, God's just telling them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Peter, like one of us, in verse 28, Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So they could hear, right? They could hear Jesus' voice. They couldn't see, they could hear. And in verse 29, Peter said to him, Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. So here, the physical thing, right? He was walking on the water. But spiritually, what is the lesson that we can understand? As I said, the sea represents the world, right? The sea represents the world. And there are challenges, difficulties that are happening. So he was walking on the water, which means he has overcome the world. When we listen to God's voice, in faith, we overcome the world. It represents, that's a picture that we see. Walking on the water represents overcoming life, overcoming world. So notice here carefully, water did not pull him down. He was not sunk. He wasn't drowned as long as he obeyed God's word. When Jesus said, come, Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. So he heard God's voice, he obeyed, and he was walking on the water. So God's word will enable us to overcome this world. And in verse 30, we see, again, there's a change here. Verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. There are five things. Seeing the wind, became frightened, beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Meaning, seeing the wind, instead of looking at Jesus, he saw the problem or the difficulty, and fear gripped immediately, and he started sinking, he started drowning. And then again, we see he cried out, Lord, save me. In the example of David and Goliath, we all know that story. Each and every Israelite was looking at the Goliath, right? They were looking at the problem. So obviously, because they were looking at the problem, they couldn't really see God. But only David was the only person who knew, was looking at God, not Goliath. He was not looking at the problem, but he was looking at God. In other words, his eyes was on God. We can take that picture. And then verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Notice this phrase, immediately. In verse 22, we see immediately he made the disciples. In verse 27, immediately Jesus, again it says immediately Jesus. In verse 31, we see immediately Jesus. So when we are going through these challenges or difficulties, is always Jesus, he knows exactly what we'll go through, but he's always there beside us to help us. And he always wants us to expect, to look at him. In verse 31, we see immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" In verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. So we need to carefully understand, when we are going through tough times, when we are going through difficulties or challenges, how am I responding to those difficulties or challenges? What is my faith level? And this will happen till our Lord comes. We see he came at the fourth watch of the night. It's a constant thing that happens in each one of our lives. We need to understand how God really works. We see those patterns who were before us. We see those patterns in the lives of the people who were before us throughout the scripture. And there is no other way. We will have to go through the same way. So how is my faith level when compared to, last year, 2023? And how is my faith level now? As I said, it's active, right? Active, it is now. How is my faith level? In other words, how is my dependency on God? Unfortunately, we have concised or we have reduced faith only to the physical things. If I get, the crowds were falling, right? And Jesus was giving them whatever they were after, healings, they were after food, they were after all these things. And Jesus never said, "No, I will not give." He gave. He gave and he sent. Whatever they needed, Jesus gave, and it's good. There's nothing wrong in it. There's nothing wrong, we going to God, asking the physical things. But most importantly, our faith, the real faith comes out when we are going through tough times, difficulties, challenges. And God is telling each one of us, Jesus is telling each one of us, we need to increase. That should be our prayer, like how disciples have requested, how disciples have prayed, "Lord, increase my faith, increase your faith," each and every one, individual here. We need to ask the Lord to increase our faith. Just imagine, God was with them. God was with them those 3.5 years throughout the ministry. And still they were struggling. That's a real thing, practical thing. We read God's word. We do everything. And it is also a practical thing. But that is not the end of the story. We should not fall in the same pit. We should fall in a different, new pits. We should come out of that pit and fall into a different. It is a struggle, yes. But praise God that He has left the Spirit of God to each one of us. We are not orphans. They thought, probably disciples might have thought, where is our Lord? They might be thinking that, where is our Lord? And suddenly we see Lord coming and rescuing them. The most important lesson that Christ is, or Jesus is telling teaching the disciples back then and even now is to increase our faith on Him. I remember in 2011, before I got my permanent residency, weekly once I was fasting and praying. That was like, you know, very immature. It is nothing wrong in fasting and praying, but I think once I got my permanent residency, it was like me and one of my friends called Ranjit, auntie knows, Rajendranathan, auntie knows. We're praying, like every Wednesday we used to fast and pray. For settlement in the country. And then one fine day, by God's grace, we answered the prayer, I got the permanent residency. And then I stopped fasting prayer. Then God rebuked me. I understood the lesson on that day. It is because I need permanent residency, I was fasting and praying. And that need was met, and I stopped fasting and praying. On that day, I learned that lesson. Lord, help me not to do just for the sake of getting things from you to fast and pray. Fasting and prayer should be a habit. It should be not connected to any physical thing. We have to have that, to have the relationship with Him on a consistent level, to be like Him, to talk like Him, to walk like Him. That should be our motive, because through that motive we need to fast. Why did Jesus fast and pray? Not to get anything from the Father. Already He was having that peace, that assurance from God the Father. He fasted and prayed so that He could depend more on Him throughout His life, throughout His ministry life, throughout His 30 years, the first 30 years, 3.5 years obviously was a ministry, but 30 years He must have done. That has become lifestyle for Him. So on that day I learned that lesson. Only spiritual things, it's just my personal conviction, of course, I'm not blaming anyone here, but on that day I learned that lesson. To have that faith, to have that dependency on God, we need to keep aside everything. Go to God, go to your personal room and then cry out to God. Pray on Him so that you could depend more on Him. So here in verse 32, let's come back to this. Verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." It was certainly God's Son. So there was a constant thing that, you know, because Rabbi, He was a teacher and He was teaching His disciples. On that day, they understood saying that you are certainly God's Son. In verse 30, I'm not going into verse, the verses after that. So the main theme that I wanted to really point out or just, you know, project here this morning is to have that faith, to fix our eyes on Him. You know, in the beginning I said fixing our eyes on Him means focusing on Him. Our eyes, our ears and our mind should be alert. That's what, you know, we see Peter, these three things. He walked towards Jesus, though he couldn't see, but he heard and listened to God's word, and he listened to the voice of the Lord, and he understood and he obeyed. So there are a few things that we need to learn and we need to really understand this morning. So Jesus was teaching, the lessons that we can learn from this particular scripture portion is, Jesus was teaching the disciples to have faith in Him during challenges or difficulties or tough times when we go through. And also we need to be aware that, you know, as I said in the beginning, whatever challenges, whatever struggle that I'm going through, is it God that allowed, or is it because of my own, you know, foolishness? Is it because of my own mistake and I'm facing this? We need to understand, we should have that discernment. Then we can be at assured. The second lesson that we learn is, always, constantly, we need to fix our eyes on Him. In Hebrews 12 verse 2, we see fixing, it's a present continuous tense, fixing our eyes on the Lord. And the third lesson that we can learn or we can understand is, the reason for lack of faith is two things. Fear, in Matthew chapter 8, can someone quickly read that for me? Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26.
Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm.
Yeah. Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? That's the first reason for lack of faith. And the second reason is doubt. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, we see that, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21, we see, and he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom these two, 21 and verse 21. Chapter 21.
And Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done with the tree, even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen.
Yeah. If you have faith and do not doubt, take God's word as it is. Whatever God says, just obey. Let's obey. Just take that faith. Take that faith. And unfortunately, the prosperity, to a certain extent, I would appreciate them. You know the reason why? Because they appropriate God's word, but only they're constricted. They're only concise only to the physical things. They're only, thinking about to prosper materialistically. Unfortunately, that is not the case. But at least they have that, though it's a wrong sort of understanding, but they take God's word as it is and they apply that on the physical things. So we need to take God's word as it is, and then we should not doubt. So there are two reasons. The fear, lack of faith is fear and doubt. And sometimes the fourth lesson that we need to understand, we can learn, is sometimes Jesus will be with us in our boat. Sometimes Jesus will be in Mark chapter 4. We see that, we have already seen that, I think Brother Matthew, weeks back, we saw that. Sometimes Jesus will be with us in the boat. Mark chapter 4, verses from 35 to 38, we see that. And sometimes, the fifth lesson we see, sometimes Jesus may not be with us in the boat when we are traveling. When we are traveling, we might feel alone, we might feel lonely. But he's silently praying and interceding on the mountain, represents, with the Father, in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, we see Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So, fifth lesson that we can learn and we can understand is sometimes Jesus may not be with us in the boat when we are traveling, but he's silently praying. Lesson number six that we learn is, we need to take courage that Jesus, our Lord, our Master, has already overcome the world. He's already overcome the world. In John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16. Can someone read that for me, please?
These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world.
Yeah, here Jesus is talking in terms of tribulations here, but we can take that appropriately, challenges and difficulties as well, when God allows that. And in 1 John, the number 7, the seventh lesson that we can learn is, our faith has overcome the world. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4.
Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Yeah, our faith. Our faith in Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith in Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, we see Paul saying towards the end of his life, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. He is the author of the faith, and he is the one who will help us to finish that. Will help us to finish that race. We need to make sure that we need to depend on him. We need to have that faith in the Lord himself. So these are the lessons that we can learn. God always wants us to move to our next level, to the other side of the sea. Sea represents the world. And all these lessons that we need to keep that in mind. I don't know each one of us sitting here are in different faith levels. We might be going through different challenges or difficulties, but make sure that we need to fix our eyes on Him, constantly fixing our eyes on Him, listening to Him, obeying His word, and constantly be in fellowship with Him. Be in fellowship with Him. Let's all just close our eyes and just quickly pray and close. Father Lord, we thank You for this morning, Father, for this opportunity, for this privilege that You've given to each one of us. Yes, Lord, there's a constant learning, constant lessons that we need to learn when we are walking in this journey, O Lord, in this world. Yes, O Lord, You're constantly interceding for us. You're always there. O Lord, Father, when Peter, Lord, when he cried out, Lord, save me, immediately You took out Your hand and You stretched out Your hand and You saved him, O Lord, Father. Yes, O Lord, help us to understand that, Lord, Father, You know each one of us sitting here in our hearts, our thoughts, what we are going through, Lord. Help us, Lord, Father, in terms of, in spite of challenges, in spite of difficulties, help us to fix our eyes on You, Lord, Father, so that, Lord, He who began a good work, and He will help us to accomplish that in the end. Like how Paul could say, O Lord, Father, thank You for this time, for this opportunity. We give You glory, we give You honor. For in Jesus' precious name I pray.
Amen.